We present Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve in Paul Temple and the Gregory Affair, a serial in 10 episodes by Francis Darbridge. Episode 10, Presenting Mr. Gregory. Early one morning, Dr. Wiseman and Peter Davos pay Paul Temple an unexpected visit.
Have you seen this before?
What?
This penknife.
Why, yes.
It's yours?
But of course it's mine.
You lost it?
Yes, I... Well, no, I didn't exactly lose it. As a matter of fact, I lent it to someone a long time ago, and they rather conveniently forgot to return it.
Who did you lend it to, Peter?
You lent it to Bill Harcourt, the Yorkshire fisherman. Am I right?
Well, why... Yes. Yes, Mr. Temple.
I thought so.
But how did you know that I lent the knife to Harcourt?
Yes. Yes, how did you know, darling?
That's rather another story, Steve, and just at the moment it can wait. But what can't wait, and what I'm most anxious to hear, is your side of the story, Dr. Wiseman.
Well, as I said, Peter went to that warehouse last night because at about 10:30, I got a phone call from Mr. Gregory. He said that if I went at the time he stipulated, he would be perfectly willing to hand over certain...
Well, certain what?
Certain highly confidential letters, Mr. Temple.
Letters that you'd written, Dr. Wiseman? Yes. You wanted those letters back, I take it. Wanted them back? Oh, Mrs. Temple, if only you knew what I've been through because of those letters.
Dr. Wiseman.
Yes.
I suppose you realize the significance of what you've just said?
You mean that I've admitted that I know the identity of Mr. Gregory?
Exactly.
Yes. I know the identity of Mr. Gregory. I've known it from the beginning. I knew who this swine was the moment he... I'm sorry.
If you insist on telling your story, darling, then don't you think you'd better start at the beginning?
Yes. Yes, all right, Peter. Several years ago, I became involved in a most unfortunate scandal. It was a euthanasia case, Mr. Temple, and I don't intend to go into details except to tell you that if certain aspects of the case were made public, I should be ruined. Utterly and completely ruined.
Go on, Dr. Wiseman.
I wrote several letters, several extremely incriminating letters. One day, to my horror, those letters disappeared. About a week after they were stolen, a certain gentleman paid me a visit.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes, Mrs. Temple, Mr. Gregory. I don't have to tell you what happened. He started to blackmail me.
For money?
No. No, that was the cunning part of the whole business. You see, he had made up his mind that Dr. Wiseman could be of service to him.
He knew that so long as he possessed those letters, I should do precisely what he wanted. At first, I couldn't see what he was getting at. He asked me to do the most extraordinary things. I remember one morning he asked me to make out two prescriptions. One for a girl called Barbara Wallace, and the other for a girl called Mildred Dawson. At that time, of course, I never heard of either of them. I made out the prescriptions for him, and then a little while later, I got a phone message from a girl who called herself Barbara Wallace.
I see. I'm beginning to understand. You mean that Mr. Gregory intended that Scotland Yard should believe that Dr. Wiseman and Mr. Gregory were one and the same person?
Exactly, Mrs. Temple. He was, in fact, quite calmly, quite deliberately, throwing suspicion onto me.
You mean that Mr. Gregory planted the prescriptions on Barbara Wallace and Mildred Dawson?
Not exactly planted them, Mr. Temple. He simply handed them over. He was, in fact, on very friendly terms with both of them.
I see. But why exactly did Gregory make the two girls you told me about impersonate Barbara Wallace and Mildred Dawson?
Well, Mr. Gregory knew that once the police discovered that I had apparently supplied the real Barbara Wallace and the real Mildred Dawson with prescriptions, they would naturally assume that I had been in personal contact with them. You see the position I was in. I should have to admit that I had been in contact with a Barbara Wallace and a Mildred Dawson, but...
But they were imposters. And you can just imagine the police believing that story, Mr. Temple, especially when they knew for a fact that Dr. Wiseman had unquestionably supplied the real Mildred Dawson and the real Barbara Wallace with a prescription.
Go on.
Well, I just didn't know what to do. And then suddenly, one morning, Mr. Gregory made a mistake. He sent a girl to see me, a girl called Virginia Van Cleve. I felt instinctively that this was not the real Virginia Van Cleve and that he was playing precisely the same game all over again. I contacted Peter. He'd always been a great friend of mine, and I knew that I could trust him. I told him the whole story from A to Z.
And what did you do, Mr. Davos?
I advised Dr. Wiseman to get in touch with you, Mr. Temple. You see, I knew that if her supposition was right about Virginia Van Cleve, and that the girl who visited her was an imposter, then by telling you pretty nearly the whole story, she was, to a certain extent...
forestalling Mr. Gregory. And last night?
Last night, I got a phone call from Mr. Gregory. He seemed overwrought. He told me that if I was prepared to meet him at a certain warehouse near Millgate Steps, he would hand over the letters. Peter was with me when the call came through.
I was convinced that the telephone message was a trap. I persuaded Kay to take no notice of it.
And yet you went there yourself, Mr. Davos.
Yes. Yes, I went there myself.
Why? Why did you go to the warehouse, Mr. Davos?
Because I had made up my mind to take care of Mr. Gregory.
Oh, Peter.
I see.
What's the matter? Don't you believe our story? Don't you believe what Dr. Wiseman told you?
Do you expect me to believe it, Mr. Davos?
But of course. Don't you see it? It fits together like a jigsaw. Now, take the perfume, for instance.
Ah, yes, the perfume.
Isn't it obvious that Mr. Gregory intended to throw further suspicion onto Dr. Wiseman by making you believe that she had visited Shadwell Basin? Why, he even tried to get her down there by a trick, by an urgent telephone message purporting to come from Professor Rees.
And that afternoon, Mr. Temple, the afternoon that Virginia Van Cleve returned, you know what happened. You know how he tricked us into going into that hotel.
Don't you realize that if someone from Scotland Yard, for instance, had followed Miss Van Cleve from the park back to the hotel, then...
then the first person they would have seen would have been Dr. Wiseman.
Exactly, Mrs. Temple.
Mr. Davos.
Yes?
Who is Mr. Gregory?
We can't tell you that, Mrs. Temple.
Why not?
Because
so far as we know, Mr. Gregory still has the letters written by Dr. Wiseman. If we reveal the identity of Mr. Gregory, then obviously he'll produce the letters.
Well, don't you believe us, Mr. Temple? Don't you believe what we've told you here this morning?
Whether you believe it or not, doesn't matter. It's the truth.
Well, if it isn't the truth, Mr. Davos, then quite obviously there's only one possible explanation.
What do you mean?
I don't understand, Mr. Temple.
I mean that in that case, you're both lying and Mr. Gregory is not simply one person, but two.
Two?
Yes. Dr. Wiseman and Mr. Davos. Hello?
Hello, who is that?
Temple here.
Oh, hello, Mr. Temple.
I tried to get you at the yard, Inspector, but Superintendent Bradley said that you were having the afternoon off.
If you can call three telephone calls and two unexpected visitors having the afternoon off, yes.
I'm sorry to disturb you.
That's all right. What is it you want?
As a matter of fact, I wanted to invite you to a party.
Yes, well, I'm afraid parties aren't much in my line, Mr. Temple.
I think this one will be.
What do you mean?
I've invited rather a distinguished guest, Inspector.
Distinguished people aren't exactly my cup of tea. I've seen too many of them make fools of themselves.
You seem to be rather difficult to please, Inspector. As a matter of fact, I thought you'd be particularly interested to meet Mr. Gregory.
What? Is this some kind of practical joke, Temple?
No, I'm not joking, Inspector.
Who is Mr. Gregory?
You'll find that out for yourself, Inspector. Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock.
Where?
At the Madrid.
Madrid?
Yes, the Madrid. Ask for room 34.
Room 34, please, Mr. Temple's party.
Oh, yes, sir. It's on the second floor, sir. Turn left at the top of the staircase.
Thank you.
Would you care to leave your things, sir?
Oh, yes. Thank you.
I'm afraid I can't give you a ticket, sir. What name, sir?
Day.
And that'll be all right, Mr. Day. Oh, thank you, sir.
Excuse Excuse me, please, but where is room 34?
Mr. Temple's party, sir.
Yes.
It's on the second floor, sir. Turn left at the top of the staircase.
Thank you.
Would you like to leave your coat, sir?
Yes. Thank you.
What name, sir?
Davos.
Very good, sir. Thank you, sir.
Where the devil is room 24? I've been looking all over the confounded place for it.
24, sir?
I said 24.
Mr. Temple's party, sir?
Aye, Mr. Temple's party.
It's room 34, sir. Second floor. Turn left at the top of the staircase.
Oh, no, thank you.
Would you like to leave your hat and coat, sir?
No, I don't suppose I shall be staying more than a minute or two. Second floor, you said?
That's right, sir. Turn left at the top of the staircase.
Thank you, laddie.
Ah, Sir Donald, come in. You were beginning to wonder where you'd got to. You're the last guest, sir. Oh, didn't you leave your coat downstairs?
There was no need for me to leave my coat. I don't intend to stay any longer than...
Good evening, Sir Donald.
Good evening, Sir Graham. Good evening, Inspector. I didn't expect to find you here.
Well, if it comes to that, I didn't expect to find you here either, Sir Donald. Or did I?
Now, what exactly do you mean by that?
I think you know most of the others, Sir Donald. My wife, of course.
Hello, Sir Donald.
Good evening, Mrs. Temple.
Dr. Wiseman.
Oh. How do you do, Doctor?
How do you do?
Mr. Davos.
Ah.
Good evening.
Oh, and Mr. Day.
How do you do?
Now, can I get you a drink, Sir Donald? What would you like, a whiskey and soda?
I don't wish to appear rude, Mr. Temple.
Look
but
here, Temple.
It seems
I've
to
no
me...
no wish to jump
Mr. Temple, why did you invite us here? Why exactly are we all here at Madrid?
Gentlemen, please. One at a time. Now, Mr. Day?
I said, why did you invite us here this evening? Why exactly are we all here at the Madrid?
Well, now, that's rather a leading question, Mr. Day. You see,
my husband has a weakness for parties, I'm afraid, especially this sort of party.
What do you mean, Mrs. Temple, this sort of party?
Just over a year ago, when Paul was investigating the Rex affair, he took the liberty of inviting to our flat all the possible suspects.
And tonight, Mr. Temple has invited here to the Madrid all the possible suspects in the Gregory affair.
What the devil?
What do you mean, sir?
Sir Graham means that if, for a moment, you can curb your curiosity... Then I shall have the pleasure of introducing you to Mr. Gregory.
What?
Temple, are you serious?
Just a minute. Just a minute, laddie. Are you suggesting that Mr. Gregory is here?
That's precisely what I'm suggesting, Sir Donald.
Mr. Temple, forgive my saying so, but don't you think you owe us an explanation?
Of course I owe you an explanation, Mr. Day. And I intend to give you one. Now listen. And listen carefully. Yesterday morning... Dr. Wiseman and Mr. Davos called at my flat and told me an extremely interesting story. They told me, in fact, exactly how they became involved in the Gregory affair. Unfortunately, during the course of that story, Mr. Davos, rather inconveniently, I suspect, forgot to mention one rather important fact.
What do you mean, Mr. Temple?
You forgot to tell me why you went up to Seaburn, Mr. Davos. You forgot to tell me why you made such a point of getting friendly with Mr. Harcourt, Bill Harcourt, the Yorkshire fisherman. However, we'll leave that for a moment, shall we? And talk about Mr. Zola. When Mr. Gregory first started his organization, I'm pretty certain that his line of business, or racket, if we prefer the word, was not abduction, but simply blackmail. Now, so far as blackmail was concerned, Zola was in rather a unique position. The sort of people who frequent the Madrid are not exactly the soul of discretion. After a little time, however, Mr. Gregory became ambitious. He decided to drop the blackmailing racket and...
go in for abduction.
Exactly. Now, there was a girl at the Madrid, a girl called Coral Slater. Miss Slater was rather a curious mixture. She had no scruples so far as blackmail was concerned. But when it came to abduction... she drew the line.
The night the Temple visited the Madrid, Coral Slater suddenly decided to double-cross Mr. Gregory. You know, of course, what happened. She was murdered and taken to...
to my flat.
To your flat, Mr. Davos.
But look here, Sir Graham. Are you telling us that Charles Zola and Mr. Gregory were one and the same person?
No. Zola was Gregory's right-hand man. When Mr. Gregory switched over to the abduction racket, Zola realized they were in the big money. He tried to double-cross Gregory.
And Mr. Gregory retaliated by trying to throw suspicion onto Zola.
But, Mr. Temple, Mr. Gregory was already throwing suspicion onto me.
Of course he was, Dr. Wiseman.
In fact, Mr. Gregory was a pretty shrewd bird. He didn't only throw suspicion onto Charles Zola, but onto Dr. Wiseman and Mr. Davos.
Exactly, Mr. Day.
But look here, Temple. If Mr. Davos isn't Mr. Gregory, and Dr. Wiseman isn't Mr. Gregory, and Charles Zola wasn't Mr. Gregory, then who is Mr. Gregory?
Don't you know, Inspector?
What do you mean?
Sir Donald, you remember the night before last, the night you went to the Palais de Danse at Hammersmith?
Yes.
Why did you go there?
What do you mean?
You know perfectly well what Mr. Temple means. Why did you go to the Palais de Danse at Hammersmith?
Well, if you must know, Virginia started to blackmail me. She demanded £150. It was that chap Antonio. He put her up to it. She'd been there the night before, at the Palais, I mean. And she'd obviously told him the whole story about me and... Why, damn it, Temple. You spotted the money. You saw it yourself in my coat pocket.
Did you see the money, Mr. Temple?
Yes, I saw the money, Inspector.
Mr. Temple?
Yes?
A few moments ago, you said that Mr. Davos was not Mr. Gregory, and yet...
Did I say that Mr. Davos was not Mr. Gregory? I think, if I remember correctly, it was you who said that.
Well, the point is this. You stated that Davos went up to Seaburn. You implied that he went up there for a particular reason. What was that reason?
He went for two reasons. Firstly, because he suspected that Mr. Gregory had taken Barbara Wallace to Seaburn. And secondly, he went to make certain inquiries concerning Mr. Gregory himself.
At Seaburn?
Yes.
But why at Seaburn?
Exactly, Mr. Day. Why at Seaburn?
Because Mr. Gregory was born there.
Born there?
At Seaburn?
At Seaburn, Sir Donald.
Are you sure?
Quite sure, Mr. Day. As a matter of fact, you interviewed his father.
His father?
Bill Harcourt.
Bill what? Harcourt? You mean to say that...
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Why, you fool, he's right. Of course he's right. You ought to have guessed it the day that...
The day that Harcourt committed suicide. Don't you see what happened? Dr. Wiseman was being blackmailed by Mr. Gregory. Peter Davos knew this, and he went to Seaburn to try and persuade Harcourt to influence Gregory to return certain letters to Dr. Wiseman. Harcourt knew that his son was a waster. But he never in his wildest dreams suspected that he was the notorious Mr. Gregory. When Harcourt and Davos found the body of Barbara Wallace, there was a note on it, a note which simply said, "With the compliments of Mr. Gregory." Harcourt took the note and confronted his son with it. From that moment, he knew that Davos had told him the truth. The old boy was almost out of his mind with anxiety. He must have studied that note 1,000 times. He'd been studying it the morning we found him, the morning he committed suicide.
It's an interesting theory, Mr. Temple.
It's more than a theory, my friend. Don't you remember what happened the night Steve and I tried to interview Harcourt? We were quite deliberately forced off the road.
Temple's right. He's right. Don't you see? He must be right.
What do you mean, Day?
Gregory was determined that no one should interview Harcourt. He tried to stop Mr. and Mrs. Temple from interviewing him just as he tried to stop me.
Did he try to stop you, Mr. Day?
What do you mean?
You know, I've always been rather intrigued by that story of yours.
Intrigued?
Yes. It was such a neat story. Not only neat, but so very convenient.
I don't think I quite understand you.
Don't you? Then let me make myself quite clear. I'm suggesting that you visited us that morning, the morning after the accident, for 3 reasons. One, to find out whether you'd been recognized the night before. 2, to tell us the story about the number plate and thus throw suspicion onto Zola. And 3, to cover up any damage which might have been done to your car when you deliberately forced us over the bridge.
What the devil are you suggesting?
Don't you know what I'm suggesting, Mr. Day?
You mean that?
You mean that...
That Day is Mr. Gregory.
What?
Mr. Gregory?
I knew.
Why, you fool, Temple. You can't possibly believe it. What about the time when Gregory tried to murder me?
When Gregory tried to murder you, Mr. Day?
Yes. Why, man, we were in the car together. We were very nearly killed by him.
We were very nearly killed by Zola.
Zola?
Yes. You know as well as I do that it was Zola that tried to murder you.
Apart from the fact that Zola wanted to take over, he knew only too well that you were deliberately trying to throw suspicion onto him.
I suppose it was Zola that tried to murder me the night before last, 2 hours after you'd picked him out of the river.
No one tried to murder you the night before last, Mr. Day.
What do you mean?
I'll tell you. Royston, or Caesar Antonio, if we prefer it, tipped you off that we were going to the warehouse. You tried to get Dr. Wiseman down there, too, because you knew perfectly well that her presence there, plus the evidence we already had against her, would be pretty...
It's true. It's true, you swine.
Shut up. Why? Shut your blasted mouth.
But Dr. Wiseman didn't turn up at the warehouse. Instead, we had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Davos. The next morning, you did precisely what I expected you would do, Mr. Day.
What do you mean?
Because of what had happened the previous night, you tried to switch the suspicion onto Mr. Davos. You produced a penknife. The penknife that Davos had lent to your father, the...
Look out! Look out, Temple!
Stand back! Stand back!
Why, the man's crazy.
If anybody moves, I'll let them have it.
Put that gun down, Day.
You heard what I said, Temple. One step further, and I'll... Inspector, move away from that lamp. You heard me. Move away from that... All right!
He hit him!
Crazy loon!
It's all right. It's all right. It's only grazed my shoulder.
Stand still! Now perhaps you realize that I mean business. Come over here, Mrs. Temple.
What are you going to do?
You heard me. Come over here, Mrs. Temple.
Don't move, darling.
Mrs. Temple, come over here.
What? What do you want me to do?
Stand in front of me.
Stand in front of...
You know what I mean. Stand in front of me. That's it. Keep in front of me. While we're back to the door.
Day, I warn you that if anything happens to Steve,
I'll... Stand still. Now, if anyone moves again, I shall let Steve have it. Right in the back of the neck, you understand? Now, towards the door.
Excuse me, Mr. Temple.
Charlie!
Hit him, Charlie! Hit him!
Nice work!
Good man, Charlie!
Did I hit the right bloke?
You certainly did hit the right bloke, Charlie.
Oh, Paul!
Come over here, darling. Are you all right, Mrs. Temple?
Yes. Yes, I'm all right.
Let me have a look at your arm, Inspector.
Is Day right out?
Yes. You've knocked him for six, Charlie.
He's stone cold. Stone cold, laddie. It was a beautiful uppercut.
Charlie, what can I say? Charlie, is there anything you want? Any little favour? Any little thing?
Well, as a matter of fact, there is one little thing, Mr. Temple. I hardly like to ask.
Anything, Charlie, anything.
Well, if it's okie-dokie by you, sir, I'd like to take Mrs. Temple to the Palais de Danse again one night.
By Timothy!
Say, these walnuts are awfully good, Steve. Pass me the nutcrackers, darling. Thanks.
Have another glass of port, Sir Graham.
No, thank you, Steve.
Well, have some more walnuts.
No, I think I'd better be making a move.
Nonsense. It's early yet. It's only 11:30.
You know, darling, I've been thinking...
Now, don't start talking about the Gregory affair. It's not that early.
No, but seriously... I don't quite see why Mr. Gregory, or rather Edward Day, wanted to throw suspicion onto Zola. After all, Zola was a pretty useful member of the organisation, and if the police...
Well, obviously Day wanted to shake Zola out of his complacency. He was convinced that Zola wouldn't want to take over if Zola suspected that the police already had their eye on him.
But Zola did want to take over.
Yes, for the simple reason that Day underestimated him. As a matter of fact, I'm not so sure we all didn't. You remember Madison, the young fellow who impersonated Zola over the phone?
You mean the man that telephoned Sir Donald Murdo?
Yes. Well, Zola found out that Day had persuaded Madison to impersonate him, and yet he very shrewdly made Madison confess that he had received his instructions from Dr. Wiseman.
But why did he do that?
Because Zola knew that once he'd taken care of Day, it would be to his advantage if we continued to suspect Dr. Wiseman.
But that night, darling, that night we discovered Professor Rees, Day made no attempt whatsoever to conceal the fact that he'd actually been in Costa Row. As a matter of fact, he deliberately drew attention to himself.
Well, of course he did. Quite obvious that Day went down to Costa Row to collect the money, suddenly realised that Rees was in no condition to be trusted, and decided to get rid of him.
Obviously, under those circumstances, he had to draw attention to himself. He simply daren't take the risk of being spotted. And don't forget,
Day was playing the amateur detective. Mm. And you expect the amateur detective to pop up in unexpected places and poke his nose into things which don't concern him?
Exactly, Sir Graham.
I suppose it was Zola who murdered that taxi driver, Vic Taylor.
Yeah, of course it was Zola. Mm. Don't forget, Taylor was just about to identify him.
When did you first suspect Day, Temple? Was it that night you bumped into him at the Madrid?
Yes.
I thought so.
I told Day about Harcourt. I told him that Harcourt was dead. He was quite genuinely surprised and rather shocked. I didn't quite see why he should be so affected by the news. After all, he was only supposed to have met Harcourt once in his life. That was the time he interviewed him down at Seaburn.
Yes. Well, quite frankly, I suspected murder.
Mm.
And as for Vosper...
Well, he obviously suspected Davos.
Yes.
Yes, well, you've got to admit, darling, that you were not the only one that suspected Day. My intuition.
Yes, we know all about your intuition, Steve.
Oh, well. You going away for Christmas?
Well, I wanted to go to Switzerland, but Paul...
Not for me, thank you.
We've had some pretty exciting times together, haven't we? Do you remember that first case, Temple?
The Knave of Diamonds, yes.
And the front page men?
Z4.
The Marquis, Rex, Valentine, and now Mr. Gregory.
Mm.
Yes. Yes, well, from now on, Sir Graham, you can count me out of that sort of thing.
What do you mean?
No more popping up in unexpected places, poking my nose into things which don't concern me.
Oh, I didn't mean you, Temple.
I know that. It's just that I feel that from now on I'd like to sit back with my feet on the mantelpiece and, as Sam Dodsworth would say, think of nothing more important than the temperature of the beer.
Nuts.
I beg your pardon?
I said nuts, darling. Pass the walnuts.
Oh.
You have been listening to the 10th and final episode of Paul Temple and the Gregory Affair by Francis Durbridge, with Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve. Others taking part were Simon Donaldson, Meg Fraser, Richard Greenwood, Michael McKenzie, Greg Powery, Gareth Thomas, and Nick Underwood. The production for the BBC was by Patrick Rayner.